We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bo. Y'all should be ashamed of yourselves.
This is the other side of the glass.
Yeah! On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Big final hour of the program coming your way. It is the other side of the glass with Chris Thomas right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Atlanta United pregame coming up next at the top of the hour. Mike Conte and Jason Longshore on the call, of course. Pivotal matchup if the Five Stripes want to make the playoffs. All right, here's the deal. Dogs are absolutely beaten up on South Carolina. It is 24-0 at the half. Everything you'd expect. Defense is dominant. Stenson Bennett looking great. Brock Bowers, couple of amazing catches. So that's all well and good there. Braves, last night, it was a pitcher's duel until it wasn't. 2-1 going into the eighth inning. Braves are up for 5 runs. Now we have an Ozzie Albies v. Vaughn Grissom discussion that we got into in the first hour of the show. We'll get back into that in about 40 minutes. And in 20 minutes, our buddy Chris Willis from SB Nation is going to come by and preview the game tonight, another pivotal matchup with the Philadelphia Phillies. With all that said, we laid out the table. But now, Dom, I think we got a six-pack to get to.
Time for the producer's six-pack on the other side of the glass.
Six questions.
Six questions.
Six chances to produce greatness.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All righty, Chris. It is that time again. One of my favorite parts of the show, because I just get to ask you guys, you know, random questions. Some sports, some entertainment, some pop culture, all that good stuff. But
and I usually get to give about half an answer each, and then Bo cuts me off.
Because Bo takes
so,
up.
So now, today, we get a nice, we can actually dive deep into these questions.
We can get into Chris's mind. So let's go ahead and get in.
That's scary. I don't know if we want to be there, but we'll find out.
Let's go with this first question now. All righty. So, first question, obviously, Cordarrelle Patterson. 22 carries first game. I wanted to ask you, though. Damian Williams out. Tyler Allgeier's active. How many carries do you want to see Tyler Allgeier get in this game?
Ooh, a lot. Because like we talked about earlier in the show, I don't want what happened last year to CP to happen this year. I know it's only week two, but the hits, you know, you can't give back the hits. Once you get them, you get them. So I would say if we had to split. See, the thing is, too, I also want to see CP used as a wide receiver more because he's equally effective there as he is running the ball. So I want to see Allgeier get between 15 and 18 touches. Give me between 10 and 12 out of the backfield for CP, and then give me another maybe 5 targets as a wide receiver. And then you throw in Avery Williams as your scat back, third down back. I think that's a nice compliment there for the Falcons.
So you do want to see Tyler Allgeier get a pretty hefty load on Sunday.
Yeah, because I know it worked, but again, you cannot run CP into the ground this early in the season. If CP has 20 to 22 carries again, even if they win, I would expect him to start to fall off as soon as maybe week 3. Because he's not meant to take that type of pounding week in and week out. He's just not.
All right, next question. More likely to happen, the offensive line gives up 0 sacks or the defense gets 4?
Well, based on what we saw last week, both are likely. I mean, the offensive line looked good and the defensive line looked great, but I'm going to say the defensive line because of the state of the Rams offensive line. We just talked about it with our buddy Matt Verderam from Fanside. Go check out his stuff. And he basically detailed that the Rams offensive line, as we know, is in shambles right now. So if the Saints offensive line, which is better than the Rams offensive line right now, we were able to get home 4 times, why can't we do it against a much worse offensive line? And keep in mind, too, guys, Matthew Stafford, we don't know if he's 100% yet. So if he has to get the ball out quick and he can't do it as effectively as he would be if he was totally healthy, that could mean a recipe for disaster. I know Aaron Donald is still there. I know. But once again, as we were talking about with Matt, he laid out the Rams defense as a whole, not exactly the number one unit in the league as they were a few years ago. So there's a good chance for the Falcons defense to shine once again. Now, I think Aaron Donald will get his, but let's see who else can shine for the Rams. I don't know if there's a guy.
Okay. I like it. Next up, I know, obviously, we're 3 weeks in. UGA is playing South Carolina. They're beating the hell out of them right now, 31-0. I know the rankings have them at number one, but based off what you've seen through 3 weeks around college football, are the Bulldogs right now the best team in the nation?
Oh, yeah, and it's not even close. With what happened to Alabama last week, are you kidding me? I think, let me say this, and I promise it's not a hot take. I think that there's a better chance that Georgia finishes as the number one team in the country than there is that Alabama makes the college football playoff. I think we saw that this Crimson Tide team is not maybe what they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Right.
And I think they got exposed a little bit. Texas is not a great team. They're a good team. They're not a great team. And to be put in that position and win the, and have to win the game the way that they did last week, I don't know. I mean, entering SEC play now, I mean, they're going to have to go on the road. I think Georgia's schedule is just – where's the L? Tell me where the L is, guys. Is it Tennessee? I mean, maybe, but not with the way the defense has played so far this year. Through 2.5 games, they've given up, what, 3 points total?
Yeah.
I know you threw Samford in there, but, yeah. I mean, my goodness. Everyone was expecting the drop-off. To quote our good friend Dylan Matthews, he came in here the other week with Bo and I and came in and out of his mouth, the first thing was, where's the drop-off? Where's the drop-off? And
yep.
Dylan, you know what? You're 100% right, man, because I was somebody that thought they'd take a step back, maybe not 20th in the country step back,
right.
But I didn't think they'd be this dominant, and I'll put my hand up and admit that fully. They are the number one team in the country right now, and it is not particularly close. Ohio State, good.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen enough to say that they could hang with Georgia yet.
Yeah.
Show me something more. You beat a bad Notre Dame team.
Yep.
Great. What else? Alabama. You barely beat Texas. Great. And who's next after that? I mean, USC?
USC, yeah.
I mean, maybe, but they play a bunch of pancakes out there out west.
Yep.
Oregon being one of them, who might be their biggest competition, who you saw what we did to them. So,
right.
Yeah, Dom, they're great.
All right. Good,
great.
Good.
They're great. Did I mention that they're great?
Yeah.
They're great.
Well, I set it up this way because I wanted to get some positive before we get into this next question. So here we go.
Oh, boy.
As of right now, September 17th, 2022, give me your definitive statement. Will the Braves win the NL East?
Yes, they will. And here's why. The Mets, well, they can't hit. They have a big problem. I know our guys are slumping, but their guys aren't hitting, period. And that's the difference. There's a difference between our guys slumping and their guys just simply not hitting. They've beat up on a couple bad teams in the Pirates over the last couple days. But newsflash, guys, they got swept by the Chicago Cubs, who if I asked you if they were a Georgia Senator or a Chicago Cub, you wouldn't be able to tell me the difference, basically up and down their entire roster. The Mets can't hit. DeGrom scares you. Scherzer scares you. But, guys, are they even going to be healthy? I don't know. Taiwan Walker, is he going to be healthy? I don't know. The only guy that's been in their rotation basically the entire year has been Chris Bassitt. He's been the horse for them this year. Everything else is a giant question mark. So, listen, Olsen needs to hit. Acuna needs to hit. Riley needs to hit. And Vaughn Grissom needs to play, which we'll get into in about 30 minutes from now.
Yep.
But, yes, the Braves will win the NL East because the Braves are just slumping. The Mets can't hit.
Okay. All right. Now it's time to get selfish with this one. I need your fantasy football expertise here.
After my week one performance, I don't know if, I don't know if you will.
Alrighty, so I already made the mistake of holding off because I saw them. I have Michael Pittman Jr. on my team. I could have played Clyde Edwards-Helaire last night, but I said, you know what? On Thursday night, my apologies.
Oh, he had a great week one.
He had a very good week one. I could have played Clyde as my flex. I didn't. Clyde had about 16 fantasy points. That's pretty good. Michael Pittman was just downgraded to out.
Yes.
So.
Against the Jags, too. He would have feasted.
Yeah. So. I'm going to ask you, who should I start in his stead? I have Travis Etienne Jr., who didn't see the field a whole bunch because James Robinson was cooking. And then I have Kareem Hunt, who did play very well, but can he replicate it? Who do I go?
Kareem Hunt is playing the Jets, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
Yeah. As much as it pains me to say this, because I am a Jets fan, and I unfortunately watch their games every week because, unlike the Atlanta Falcons, I am cursed. As a Jets fan. So, yeah, Kareem Hunt for me is the answer there. We just don't know what this coaching staff wants to do with Travis Etienne. Coming off the injury, they're clearly working him in slowly. Kareem Hunt, listen, Nick Chubb had a, you want to talk about a big game, he also had a big game. But Kareem Hunt always has the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and be used. And Nick Chubb running up the middle as a decoy. I like the and the Browns, frankly, have the quarterback Jacoby Brissett that is going to be handing off the ball a lot.
Yep.
Not that Trevor Lawrence isn't too, but I would handily say Kareem Hunt in that situation.
Okay.
But
okay.
Again, I think my team scored like 90 points in week one because we were absolutely decimated. I had the Packers defense.
Mm.
Let me ask you this, fantasy football related. I made what I think is the most cojones move in my entire draft.
Okay.
I had the opportunity to take either Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, and I took Russell Wilson.
I think that's a smart bet.
You do?
Yes.
You don't think I made a mistake?
No. I was someone, and it sucks because I didn't get him in any of the in the leagues that I'm in. I wanted Russell Wilson very badly this year, and I didn't get him in any of my drafts, so I'm a little upset about it. I think week one, like Russell, they move the ball. They're going to score touchdowns again. They were in the red zone 5 times, only scored 16 points. That's never going to happen again.
I had Rodgers last year, too, and when I had the opportunity to take him again, I was like, and I asked Matt Verderam this as well. I said, is this the year? Is this the year that it finally collapses? And I think, they just don't have enough.
Yeah.
Unless they go out and get a big-time guy, they just don't have enough right now. All right, I think we got one more.
One more. Alrighty, so this one's kind of fun. I'm going to ask you, after seeing Derwin James just absolutely obliterate Travis Kelce with a spine buster in the middle of an NFL game, which is awesome, I wanted to ask you, what is your most impressive athletic feat?
Ooh, okay. I actually remember this very specifically because I don't have a lot of them. I was an average at best athlete who got into sports later in life. I was a video game nerd until I was like 11, 12. And then I started to play football, baseball, and track in high school, but I was so far behind that I never really caught up. So I had one inning. It was freshman year baseball where I wore number 51 because Bernie Williams is my favorite player of all time.
Got you.
And I channeled him. And I made not one, but two insane catches. And I robbed a player on the opposing team that got so angry that I made that catch that he quit the next day.
Oh, nice.
I made a player quit because the guy who was in right field, who's supposed to be the worst of the three outfielders, made a miraculous catch against him. So I will remember that for the rest of my life. I still have we came in second place that year in our league, and I still have the trophy to this day.
That's pretty solid, man. That's pretty awesome. I think mine is probably my freshman year of high school. I was on a very at Stevenson. We had a very good swim team that year, and I was on the relay team. And we actually went to state and took bronze. That bronze medal is actually sitting in Stevenson's trophy case.
There you go.
So that's probably my.
I give you credit, man. You got to be. You want to talk about having to be in shape?
Oh goodness!
I think wrestling, hockey, and swimming.
They are
the three sports you got to be in the best shape.
Yeah, because, I mean, swimming, that's one of those things. It works your entire body. It's fun. I need to do that more. I'm a little out of shape now. I need to get back in the pool.
You're welcome to radio, baby. It's all downhill. Remember what you looked like when you walked in, because it'll never be the same. All right, great job, Dom. Coming up next, we're going to chat with our buddy Chris Willis, SB Nation on the Braves. What to expect tonight after a great win last night. And should he play? Yes or no? It is the other side of the glass with Chris Thomas right here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Other side of the glass is on.
Oh my God. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I mean, wow. 38-0. Dogs are up on South Carolina right now. They are putting on an absolute show. If you haven't seen Brock Bowers and what he did today, look it up online. Simply amazing. But it's time to talk some Braves right here on the other side of the glass. Chris Thomas with you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, taking you up to the top of the hour. Atlanta United pregame coming your way then. Mike Connie and Jason Longshore with a very special broadcast, which they will tell you about. But let's welcome in on the Wade4.com hotline our buddy Chris Willis from SB Nation to talk some Braves. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Let's start with last night before we get to tonight. How big was that homer for Acuna to set the tone for the rally? Because, let's be honest, the top of the lineup hasn't been as good as they've been all year.
I think it was huge, and it may serve as a turning point in Acuna's season and maybe the Braves for this stretch run. You know, the offense have been struggling. As you mentioned, the top four guys have been struggling. For him to come up big in that spot, I thought that was a huge win.
Now, what do you think they're going to do the rest of the way with Acuna? Because it seems like when he's out there in the field, I don't want to use the word more engaged. I don't think that's fair, but some facsimile of that. How much percentage-wise do you think we're going to see him DH versus be in the field, or is it simply as the knee goes, he goes?
Yeah, Brian Snicker talked about it a little bit yesterday. I think that they would like to see him in the outfield mostly just because it makes their lineup more diverse. So you get William Contreras in as the DH. But it's going to be – I think they'll take it easy with him. I doubt he'll play every single game the rest of the way. Snicker said it was going to be like a day-to-day process still, but – I think Acuna's feeling a lot better. He looks like he's running better. You can tell it when he's running the bases. So, hopefully you're to the point now where you're going to see him 70-80% in the outfield the rest of the way.
Ozzie obviously returns last night. He gets the bloop, which, it goes for a double, but we all know the Phillies defense is really bad and that ball just kind of landed in no man's land. What did you see from him last night? Did he look comfortable to you?
I watched him the last couple of games he played at Gwinnett, and, you know, the thing that really jumped out to me was just how well he was moving. You know, I think he'll come along at the plate. You know, obviously he missed nearly 3 months with that injury, so it's going to take him a little bit of time to adjust probably to major league pitching. But, you know, it just seemed like he gave them a lift having him back in the clubhouse and around the team. So, you know, hopefully we're on an upward he's on an upward trajectory at this point. You know, and the offense will come.
He made 3 errors before he went on the list, and I know he missed, like you said, as much time as he has. Any worry about his defense?
Well, I don't worry too much about his defense if he's moving and he feels healthy. You know, I think his range is there and whatnot. I think he's shown he's a pretty good defender in the past. So, you know, as long as he's feeling well, I don't worry too much about his defense. I think, he's probably the best defensive second baseman they have.
Now, for me, Chris, here's the $64,000 question. What do the Braves do with Vaughn Grissom?
That's a good question. And, Snicker was asked about it yesterday. He didn't really give much of an answer because he's not going to divulge what their plans are. But I think you're going to see him. I don't think he's just going to simply go to the bench. I think we're going to see him at times. I think Ozzy may get a day or two as a DH. You know, they've been working him out in left field. You know, right now, Robbie Grossman and Nady Rosario both have probably playing as well as they have all season. So, you know, I don't know if that's a fit or not. But, you know, the thing I looked at, took away from it was getting Ozzy back. It just strengthens the whole roster. You know, your bench is better now. You know, I think Grissom came up huge for them in helping bridge the gap to Ozzy's back. And, you know, I think he's going to be a big part of it going forward, even if he does see a little bit of a reduced role.
Now, here's the thing for me, Chris, when it comes to Vaughn Grissom. He's won for his last 17. The reason I think he needs to play more is because I think we need to see what he can do or not do to get out of it. This is the first time he's really faced adversity, and if he's going to be on the playoff roster and have a big role, we need to see if he can handle it.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a good point. You know, I just don't know. It's just, it's almost like a numbers game now at this point. I wondered when they called him up, you know, if it was just going to be a short situation and he might go to Gwinnett where he could play every day, you know, after that. But the way he played, I don't think, I don't even think that's an option at this point. I think, I think he's shown that he needs to be on this roster the rest of the way over the last next couple of weeks. So it will be interesting to see how they work him in and, and everything, because I don't think he's just going to go sit, you know, the way some of those other bench guys have. But, obviously they need to get Ozzy Smith bats as well.
Talking with our buddy Chris Willis, SB Nation, on the other side of the glass with Chris Thomas right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, Jake Odorizzi goes tonight. Mixed bag at best from him, but trending upward. Do you expect good things from him against an ace tonight in Aaron Nola?
It's going to be tough with Aaron Nola anytime. It doesn't matter who's pitching, you know, on the other side. Nola's the Cy Young candidate at this point. You know, Odorizzi kind of struggled the last time out. I'm hoping to see better things tonight. Hopefully the offense, though, woke up in the late innings on Friday night, and they can get him some runs early and let him settle in.
Now, the back end of the bullpen, Chris, has been shaky at best with Kenley Jansen. Are you concerned at this point? Would you consider going to Iglesias? I know Snicker likes Jansen there, but results are results.
Yeah, I thought it was notable that, when that was it looked like it was going to be a save situation last night, that it was Iglesias that was up. I don't know that I would read anything into that, but at the same time, as you said, you know, Jansen's been shaky of late. You know, they've got Iglesias, they've got AJ Minter, who's been good. I don't think Jensen's just going to lose his job, but it wouldn't surprise me over the next few days or so until he's showing signs of getting back if he doesn't lose a few save opportunities here. Jansen's been through it before. He's been through ups and downs. You know, I think he knows what he needs to do to come out the other side of it. But, the Braves have options, so that's a good part of it.
Now, do you think their rotation is going to shape up Freed, then you go right, then you go Strider? Is that how you would line it up right now if the playoffs started tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I might even go with Strider second, honestly, just the way he's pitched. But, you know, it's going to be – that's another fascinating decision they've got to make. And, you know, it's a good thing to have too many options rather than not enough. So, you know, I think right now, I think Spencer Strider is arguably their second-best starter, you know, and I think he deserves to, you know, to start once the postseason gets here. So, you know, Charlie Morton's the veteran, though, so, you know, I wouldn't completely write him off. But, you know, I think right now if you lined them up on their most recent results, I think, Morton would be the third or fourth guy.
A guy who looks like, unfortunately, he might not be here the rest of the season, Ian Anderson. What's the latest with him?
He suffered an oblique injury maybe last week. They're talking like he's going to be out at least 4 weeks, 6 weeks. You know, I don't know. You know, I mean, if they went deep in the postseason, maybe he can, you know, he could work himself back to be an option if they needed it. But I think at this point it would be more of an emergency situation, if anything. You know, just it's tough season for him all the way around. And to get hurt at the end, you know, it's just I don't know. Hopefully he can come in with a full spring training next year, and we'll see the Ian Anderson that we saw in the past.
Another guy with a question mark, but this one is more of a positive, is Mike Soroka. Looks like he's close. I mean, what are the Braves going to do if he's ready to go? Does he slide into the rotation out of the bullpen? What do you do with him?
I don't know. Those results at Gwinnett haven't been great. He gave up 3 home runs last night. I think his ERA is over 6 right now, but you know, I think he's coming out feeling healthy and everything. But, you know, at this point, I mean, unless somebody goes down or something, I think there's a chance that we just see him finish out the season at Gwinnett. And then, you know, they take their chances. I mean, considering where he's come from, you know, it's just good to see him back on the mound and looking healthy. And, you know, again, he's another guy that hopefully can stay healthy and come go to spring training next year, you know, ready to go.
For sure. We're talking with our buddy Chris Willis, SB Nation, right here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Olsen. Chris, what have you seen that's really caused this slump? Is it a mechanical issue? You think it's a mental issue? Or is this just, you know, guys go through this during a baseball season?
Well, I mean, I think it's a little bit of several things. I think he's pressing, you know, and I know, you know, he came in hometown, you know, big shoes to fill, obviously, played really well. But, you know, I think he's gotten into this rut now, and then I think he's pressing, you know, at some point. I think you've seen it some with Austin Riley as well, you know, especially on that road trip. I think it's just one of those situations where he's just got to relax, and, you know, maybe somebody like Ronald picking up the slack, and, you know, William Contreras and other guys can picking up the slack will take some of that pressure off of him and, you know, allow him to get back going, because they really need his bat. You know, for these last couple of weeks.
Last one for me, Chris. If Riley has a red hot end of the season, can he bounce back into the MVP discussion, or did he lose that with this cold streak?
You know, I mean, I think he's going to get votes again. It looks like to me, Paul Goldschmidt's probably the favorite for that. And, you know, and that's rightfully so, because I mean, he's put up monster numbers. Riley obviously has been, you know, you could make the case that he's carried the team. He's there at the Braves MVP offensively. I think if he finishes strong, you know, he'll get some more support, and people start talking about him a little bit again. But, you know, I still think it's probably Goldschmidt's ward to win.
Chris Willis, check him out on SB Nation. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, we are wrapping up this puppy right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 45-0, the Dogs. I mean, I think even those who expected them to roll didn't necessarily expect this. I'll tell you what I thought about the game so far from what I've been able to see off the tube, and we'll wrap this puppy up, hand it off to Mike Conte and Jason Longshore with a very special broadcast of Atlanta United Soccer in a very special game, because they need this one to win if they want to make the postseason. It is the Other Side of the Glass with Chris Thomas right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
to Chris and Bo.
With more of The Other Side of the Glass with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Last chance for romance right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Been a fun show, been a quick show. A lot of great guests, a lot of conversation with you guys on the phone as well. 404-741-0929. We'll get back into the topic that had you guys stirring in just a minute, but we need to tip our caps to the Dawgs. They're up 45-0 at the end of the third quarter. Dom, I will throw up my hands in the air and admit something. I didn't think it was going to be this. I mean, my goodness. They have looked every bit of the reigning national champions that they are.
Yep.
South Carolina has not been in this game since minute one. The highlight of the play of the game for them, rather, was a gadget play. Fake. I couldn't really see what it was. It was either like a fake punt or a fake kick. It was something stupid that wound up working for them. But they have not been able to get anything on offense or defense. And this is, I mean, I'm going to go out and say it. It's embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. But, like, and this goes back to what I asked you earlier, like, about are the Bulldogs still the best team in the nation? They're showing why. Now, granted, I expected them to beat down on South Carolina just because I don't think South Carolina's a particularly good team. I'm not really a believer in Spencer Rattler at all. But, yeah, this is what they're supposed to do. And, you know, we mentioned earlier about how everyone talked about how it was supposed to be a drop-off. Drop-off ain't there.
No.
The defense is still ridiculously dominant, and it looks like Stetson Bennett, another year in this offense, super confident. They aren't afraid to give him the keys and let him, you know, let it rip every once in a while, and I think that's opening up. I think that makes them a more dynamic team. But, yeah, they're beating the hell out of South Carolina right now.
I know they're making them look like they're Bethune-Cookman, but they're not. South Carolina's a decent football team playing at home SEC play. The Dawgs were favored by 24.5. They're going to double that. This is unbelievable. And again, if you look at the schedule, guys, where's the loss? And if there is one, it's going to be a massive, massive upset. The only offense in the entire SEC that we've seen so far that looks like they might be able to hang would be Tennessee. And, I mean, I would favor the Dawgs by 3 touchdowns in that game. I mean, I don't think they're – I mean, Hendon Hooker's a good story and he's a good athlete, but
– The Bulldogs will not be challenged until they play Alabama in the SEC championship game. Let's just
maybe. I mean, we got to see what Bama does the rest of the way. I mean, if Texas was able to get him like that and get him in that position, I mean, that was just as shocking as how dominant Georgia is right now. The fact that Alabama had to use every trick in the book to get themselves to squeak by a 1-point win against the backup quarterback for Texas. Texas. I mean, I know they're coming to the conference, but they're not here yet. And let's be honest, guys, between you and me, get close to your radios. They're not that good. And Alabama barely beat them.
Barely beat them with a backup quarterback. Like, if Quinn Ewers doesn't get hurt, Texas wins that game.
I don't care what anyone says. Yeah.
Alabama's defense could not stop him. He was getting whatever he wanted against the Nick Saban defense, which leads to an interesting conversation of what they're going to do when Arch Manning comes around. But that's another conversation.
Yeah. Where's Carl Dukes? I know your ears are burning somewhere because we're talking about Texas and Arch Manning. All right, let's wrap up with this Vaughn Grissom, Ozzie Albies conversation because we started the show with this. You guys were really into it. Phone lines lit up. We took calls. We argued. And here's why. Because Vaughn Grissom, to me, does not sit the bench, just because Ozzie is back, and there's several reasons why. Ozzie had not had a good season up until this point. Batted 240, 8 home runs, 40 RBIs, and the most surprising stat to me, 3 errors, which is not Ozzie-like. So going into this whole thing, Ozzie wasn't playing great. So then he misses all the time, and now he's back. In the interim, you call up Grissom, and all he does is play a great second base when he's actually a shortstop. Bat 310, power, speed, versatility. You can bat him at the top of the lineup. You can bat him at the bottom of the lineup. And he's facing his first adversity right now. So you have two options. You got to see if Ozzie can bounce back and if Vaughn can bounce back. And I don't know if there's enough left in the season to be able to do both simultaneously. 404-741-0929. Braves fans, think with your heads, not your hearts. We took a bunch of phone calls earlier, and what it sounded like to me was you guys are penciling in Ozzie at second base every day or DH every day instead of Vaughn because you love him and he's a spark plug and he's the heart and soul of the team and this and that and the third. That's not the reason you play him. You play the guy that gives you the best chance to win the game. It's that simple. He can be a team leader from the locker room. He can be a team leader on the bench. I'm not saying Ozzie doesn't deserve a chance, but if he's one for his next 15 and he makes an error, it's going to be tough to say, I'm going to start him in the playoffs every game over a guy that for a month, along with Michael Harris, carried the entire team. I'm sorry. I know it's a tough pill to swallow, but you got to swallow it because you want another World Series. You don't want nice warm feelings between Acuña and Ozzie when they're taking the field together again. That was a nice story last night. I know he got a hit, but guys, he didn't really get a hit. The Phillies are maybe the worst defensive team in the entire MLB, and it was a bloop double that three guys couldn't put their heads together and figure out one of them to catch. Other than that, he didn't do anything. So we need to see, can he still play at the level we're accustomed to him playing? And if not, you need to stick Vaughn in there to see if he can overcome the 1-for-17 that he's going through right now. We don't know if he's going to overcome it. If he comes in, Grissom that is, and doesn't get a hit for the rest of the season, then it's a no-brainer. But if he comes in after some time off and a reset and he gets right back on fire and him and Harris at the bottom of the lineup return to being the spark plugs that they were, it's not an easy decision. But to me, you play Vaughn and Ozzie becomes an ultimate weapon off the bench or as a DH. Whenever Acuña's feeling good in right field, you DH him. But he doesn't just get the job back, guys. And I'm sorry. And that is because you want to win another World Series. Let's hear Ozzie after the game last night, because this is what I think the Braves fans were talking about when you're speaking with your heart and not your head.
It was a great energy game tonight, and I was trying to be as positive as I can and enjoy the moment. And it was huge that I came up with extra runs for my team tonight.
And that's what Braves fans love, and that's what they want to see. They want to see one of their guys, homegrown talent, out there, coming back, first game, contributes to the offense, and getting the love and the adoration. But that doesn't translate to wins on the field. What translates to wins on the field is what Vaughn Grissom and Michael Harris have been doing. It's going to be a really interesting few weeks to see what the Braves do, because I don't think this is a lockdown, shutdown debate at all. I think this should be wide open. Brian Snicker, I know it's not an easy decision to make, and I know he loves his guys and he's loyal. Look at what he's doing with Kenley Jansen right now. He's not pulling him. He's giving him every chance to succeed in the world. And that's why all of us watching the Braves games every night in the ninth inning are gripping and white-knuckling our couches, because every night's a roller coaster. Trust me, as being a Yankee fan growing up in New York City with Aroldis Chapman, I know what it's like. So welcome to it, Braves fans. He's not going to change. That's who Kenley's going to be. But we don't know who Vaughn Grissom is going to be. And that's a huge problem. Is he going to bounce back from the 1-for-17 and regain his form? And if he is, and given the fact that Ozzie was inconsistent before he got hurt, and there's only a few games left, I think you got to roll with Vaughn. What say you? 404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, as well as the number to call in. Let's hear from Snit last night, because he was talking about this as well. Just having everybody back, and it's a good feeling.
It's just so much, you know, it completes our team when they're there, and Ronnie's in right, and you know, it's just because he's a weapon in right field. I mean, that's the biggest thing is the play out there and what he possesses and things he can do.
Yeah, but Snit, here's the problem. As Ronnie goes, or as the knee goes,
Ronnie goes. So if he's going to be able to play the field three nights a week, that's great, and that opens up that DH slot for somebody else. Because ideally you want Robbie Grossman in left, who's been a great acquisition, by the way. You want Harrison center, and you want Acuna in right. And that opens up the DH spot for either Aussie or Vaughn or Ozuna. And that's the ideal lineup. But there's too many variables right now to say that you can just roll that out night in and night out. You have Acuna with the knee. You have Ozzie just coming back. And you have Vaughn slump. Oh, and not to mention, Olsen's also slumping right now. And so is Austin Riley. So you don't have the ideal situation that Snitch has laid out there. That's nice in theory and on paper. But when the product on the field is not reflecting the lineup card that you're putting out there, you have to make tough decisions. And a tough decision right now is giving the kid a chance to prove himself that he can be a playoff player for you. Because we don't know. If he melts down at the end of the regular season and continues to slump, are you going to feel comfortable starting him? No. But what if Ozzie also never catches fire either? You need to be able to get as much of a feel for who you're going to ride in these situations as you can. I just don't think it's that easy. And for everyone who texted in and called in and tweeted in today, I appreciate it. But I really, really think you're giving Ozzie the benefit of the doubt because you love him and what he means for the team and what he means for the city, and not the guy who's batting 240 with 8 home runs, 40 RBIs, and 3 errors and just missed 3 months of the season. And sometimes the hardest decision is the one that you need to make. That will do it for this edition of The Other Side of the Glass. I want to thank everybody that joined me, all my guests today. Joe Patrick, we talked Falcons. Matt Verderam from Fansided. We talked the entire NFL week 2, gave you a great perspective on the landscape for those games as well. And we also just talked with our buddy Chris Willis, who lined out exactly what the Braves need to do to win this series versus the Phillies as we head into the postseason. Also a great big thank you to my producer, Dom C. Did a great job, as always, with the Falcons true or false questions, as well as his always entertaining, always mystifying, magical segment we like to call the Producer Six Pack. Next weekend, we got a treat for you guys. Squid Billy makes his triumphant return to the program. And get this, guys, live from Seattle. How about that? He's going to be joining us. He'll give us boots on the ground perspective of what his week has been like traveling with the team and what to expect after the game tomorrow when the Falcons take on the Rams, 4 o'clock start. You can hear that, of course, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, coming up next, something very, very special. Our very own Mike Conte and Jason Longshore, of course, they're on the call, but they're on the call from a very, very special location. If you haven't checked it out yet, go to their Twitters. They're explaining what's going on. And, of course, they'll give you all the lowdown on the broadcast. Thanks again to everybody who listened, who called, who tweeted, who texted. Hit me up at C Thomas Radio. Bo and I will talk to you next Saturday. This has been The Other Side of the Glass with Chris Thomas right here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.